We are doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah. We're holding page Nun He in the Rambam Nam edition. We were in the middle of discussing why the tractate of Avot is an end of Nizikin. And the Rambam said there are two reasons. Firstly, to stress the tradition. We know that Pirkei Avot begins with enumerating the tradition, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, etc. And then Mishnah after Mishnah enumerates the leaders of the Jewish people at the time. So this gives us the perspective that really each court is a continuum all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're supposed to treat them as such, regardless of what level they are in comparison with their predecessors. We say they are a continuation from Moshe and they deserve that honor. So that's one reason why it's over here. We know in Nizikin we have Sanhedrin, we have the laws of the judges. So this is one aspect of how we're supposed to view the judges as a continuum from Moshe. So that's one reason why it is over here, the end of Nizikin. And the second reason the Rambam had said is because Rebbe wanted to tell us the different teachings of morals that the different sages taught us, so that we'll learn from them how to behave properly. And the person who needs this most is the judge, because if a judge doesn't behave nicely, so then he's not only harming himself, but he's harming all of humanity. So that's why the first point that Rebbe makes in the tractate of Pirkei Avot is to the judges, be patient before you give ruling. And all the points, all the messages of tractate of Avot, a judge has to take them especially to heart. A judge has to be patient in giving ruling, because maybe there's something that he didn't notice when he took a first glance at the case. Ve'en lo la'arich b'din k'mochen k'sheyida she'en bo davar nistar. And by the same token, we're at the end of the fourth line, a judge should not just hold out before giving ruling when he's verified that there's nothing left to verify, when he's reached a conclusion, because this is called just affliction of justice. I think we got to go one line back. The Rambam said a judge has to be patient, he shouldn't be swift to give judgment, because maybe shefshal sheyev adin hu inyan nistar, maybe there's something that's hidden that he has to look into, to delve into more deeply before he gives ruling. As our sages said, din merumeh. Sometimes you have a court case and you can tell that one of the guys is a swindler, so you have to take a close look to ensure that you won't be swindled. Sometimes a court sits in justice and they see that one side is a con artist and they won't be able to get to the bottom of it. So then the court has to say, we can't deal with this. This guy is too sneaky for us. He's bringing this document and that document, and he's forging this and he's forging that, and he's making this claim and that claim. Well, we feel like there's too much hanky-panky going on. So in order to really get to the bottom of that, in order to catch it when it happens, you have to take time to analyze the case. Then lo la'arich b'din, and the courts also should not take an extra long time in coming to a decision. K'mochen she'ida she'en bo davar nistar. By the same token, they shouldn't take too long when they verify that there's nothing that's covered. Shezenika einu edin, because that's the affliction of justice if you take a long time unnecessarily. V'yesh lo lishtadel b'chakirat ha'edim, and the courts have to take time and invest strength in cross-examining the witnesses. Ulizeh bishat ha'chakira, and to take care when they're cross-examining the witnesses, that the witnesses shouldn't be able to figure out from what the judge is asking what would be a good answer that would help them out. And also the judges have to be careful not to instruct one of the two parties how to make a claim. And that's what we call lawyers. The Mishnah says, Don't tell them what claims they should make. And the judge, the rabbi, shouldn't disgrace his honor by sitting in the companionship of the Amei Haaretz, Shema Yelavuz, because then they might look down at him. He has to keep a certain distance. And the judge has to be careful, by the same token, not to distance himself too much from people. It shouldn't reach a point where people feel like they cannot access him when they need him. Because if that's the case, then you have a person who's poor and he needs the judge, he needs justice. If the judge is totally inaccessible, then he's going to lose. And the judge shouldn't look for vacations and pleasures in this world. If his focus is taking vacations and just enjoying his free time, so then his focus on enjoying this world is going to mislead his heart. He won't be able to attain truth. In order for a person to attain truth, he has to separate himself from the topics at hand. The only way a person can separate himself is when he's less attached to the physical. We're also taught that a judge shouldn't try to be the head of the court. He shouldn't keep trying to advance himself. He should try to advance himself in the respect of his own learning. But he shouldn't be focused on how do I advance my seat in the courts. Today we see that. We see that that's half the problem of the Knesset. Everyone's focused on how to advance themselves in the Knesset. And a judge shouldn't push himself, exert himself, so that he ends up being the judge. Shema yechashud, lest people mistrust him. They'll say, why is he chasing after this position? Must be that he's getting bribes. What's his interest in having this position? Must be he has an interest. So a judge has to be modest, and he has to make himself available, but he shouldn't put too much of an effort to attain the position, because then people will start asking, what's his interest in that position specifically? And the judge should always try to find the way of making a pshara, to find a compromise, so that both sides walk away happy. And if he can, then he should reach a point where he never has to give ruling. Because when you're giving ruling, you're telling each side what to do. When you sit down and you work out a compromise between the two, so both sides have a say, and both sides reach a conclusion. He has to strive to make a compromise between the two quarreling parties. Behold how good, how pleasant that is. And if he cannot bring them to compromise, as yachtoch hadin, then he does have to give ruling. Ve'al yatriach, aval yiten zmanim arukim leva'al hariv, ve'yanicheu levakesh al nafsho kol hayom. And the judge shouldn't push himself to quickly give ruling, but rather he should give each side ample time to present their claims. Ve'aval pi she'obed dvarim, yidaber olelot v'sichlut, even though he doesn't know how to shorten what he's saying. You're dealing with people who are not practiced with making their claims. So a guy comes into court and he starts telling you his whole story. But he's including many things that are irrelevant. You might think, well, let me tell him, get to the point. What do you want? And the Rambam says, no. You have to give him the room to say what he has to say so that he'll also express the things that are necessary for his case. Now that takes a lot of patience. The guy comes in and he starts talking and you're waiting for him to get to the point. Well, it's very tempting to tell him, hey buddy, get to the point, I don't have all day. Says the Rambam, part of the things a judge has to do is give ample time for the person to speak, even though he's saying things that are foolish, that are not relevant to the case. And if that's not possible, then he should see if there's no possibility that in the claims he'll come out vindicated, then the judge should give ruling right away. He shouldn't detain. כמו שאנו רואים, רבותינו עושים בעניין קשירת הידיים והקעת השוט והמלכות והפשט הבגדים וקעת השטעות המקוימות. Just as we see our rabbis do when it comes time to handcuff a person or to give him lashes or to strip a person or to tear the documents. כשימצאו בהם מה שיחייב לעשות זה. The second they find proof that indicates that they have to do this ruling, they do it right away. They don't tell the person, come back tomorrow, we'll give you lashes. all night long. The guy's suffering. He's thinking, oh boy, it's going to be so painful tomorrow. They come to the conclusion that he deserves lashes. So right away, they give him what he deserves. Dalbech Mozen, many other things like this, we see in Pirkei Avot, Uvadome lezoh mitzvah, we mikovad in tahar. And with things that are similar to this mitzvah, that you should come to a ruling right away and do what you have to do, our sages said the concept, let the ruling uproot the mountain. Meaning, usually when you encounter a mountain, so you contend with the mountain defines for you how you're going to traverse it. The mountain is greater than the person. If the mountain is difficult to ascend, so you have to bring ropes, and the mountain defines for you how you're going to cross it. Our sages said, when it comes to giving ruling, Yikov hadin et hahar. Let the ruling uproot the mountain. Ordinarily, a human cannot uproot the mountain. Our sages said, yeah, but when it comes to halachic ruling, we go with the ruling. If there's a mountain in the way, the ruling will plow down the mountain. The ruling, so to speak, has to be stronger than even the mountain. So over here, the Rambam means, if we come to a conclusion that something has to be done, then we should do it right away, and we shouldn't worry about, oh, well, maybe we'll think about it another day, maybe we'll do something else. No, if you reach the conclusion, so follow through on it. And if you want the general rule, a judge has to be like an expert doctor. The expert doctor, so long as he knows how to heal a person by just changing his diet, by telling him, eat more celery, eat more cabbage, so long as he could work within a normal diet and heal the person, he doesn't administer any medication. That's how an expert doctor works. But when he sees that the person is extremely ill and he can no longer help him with ordinary foods, so then he takes medication, which is like medication, that is as close as it gets to natural food. For example, different drinks or different types of jams. And if he sees that the person is getting more sick, these different types of simple medications aren't helping him. Only then does he administer more powerful medication, and he might give him some kind of laxative. I don't know what that is. Okay. They say it's something that helps heal the intestines. Or something similar from the different types of medication that are bitter and difficult. So, how does an expert doctor work? First, he tries to work within the regular diet of a person. He tells him, eat more of this, eat at different times. He gives him directions within a normal diet. If the illness is more serious than that and he cannot help him with that, so he'll use the lightest form of medication, things that are closest to their natural state. And if that can't help the person, only then will he administer the harshest medications. By the same token, the judge, kacha shofet, yishtadel asot pshara. Initially, he should try to bring the two sides to a compromise. Mime no yachol, and if that is not possible, yishpot benachat v'iratzeva lariv b'dvarim rakim. So then he should give ruling peacefully, calmly, and try to appease one of the quarreling sides, the one that's going to have to give in. He should appease them with soft-spoken words. And if that's not possible, because one side is cruel, that side wants to overpower, irrespective of whether he has justice, he's going to take it by brute force, then the judge has to take his authority, he has to take his strength, and knock the wicked down in his place. And it's important that the judge does not seek the pleasures of this world too much, and he has to distance himself from seeking wealth or elevated stature. The verse says, the judges have to be people who hate the bribes, the wealth. They have to be people who like the simple life. And our sages taught us, Melech b'mishpat ya'amid aretz ve'ish te'umot yersena. The verse says, a king will establish the land with justice, and a person who accepts donations will destroy the land. Our sages explain like this, Im domeh hadayan le'melech. If the judge is like a king, he doesn't need anything from anyone. If the judge is established financially and he's not interested in anyone else's gifts, then he will maintain the land. He maintains justice. But if he's like the people who don't have money and they're always looking to figure out where they can get gifts, freebies from other people, Yelsena. If that's the type of person the judge is, then he'll destroy the land. So a judge has to be someone who's happy with his position financially. He's not looking for freebies all the time. He's not looking for gifts. He's not looking for the amenities of this world. And once we see that the judge requires all these different directives in order to overcome his nature with these directives, it's so, then look at how pleasant, how fitting it is that the tractate of Avot follows the tractate of Sanhedrin, because these different attributes are attributes that the judge has to acquire more so than anyone else. So that's why Avos has to be after the tractate Sanhedrin, and the reason it's not directly following Sanhedrin is because there's Horiot and Makot, which are really adjuncts to the tractate of Sanhedrin. Because Avos encompasses these morals, these values. And we know that Avos also has other lessons that help a person separate himself from the worldly things. The Chibud HaChokhmah V'Aleh, and the tractate teaches us to honor the wisdom and those that have acquired it. U'Maaseh HaYosha V'Ayira, and Avos directs us how to act faith in good faith and being God-fearing people. And once he concluded telling us how the judges have to behave, he started explaining what happens when they err. Because you know what, says the Rambam, any person that has a human nature, are you human? Then it is impossible that you won't err. It is impossible that you won't sin. And that's why the tractate of Horios, which discusses what happens when the courts erred, that tractate follows tractate Avos. Uvachatam sedo nizikin, and with that tractate, Rebbe sealed the order of nizikin. And it comes out that there are 8 tractates in nizikin. Now this is a very important point. People like to think that a rabbi will never make a mistake. The Rambam's telling us, no, if he's human, he'll make mistakes. Now, the Kotzke Rebbe used to say, God says to mankind, be holy. What is God saying? God's saying, holy angels I have enough of. I need holy humans. The idea is, sometimes we look at a rabbi and we say, oh, he's an angel. He doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. It's not so. He has a Yetzer Hara. He's human. He can make mistakes. He has desire. God says, overcome that. You who's made of that mud, who has those physical tendencies, I want you to be holy. If I wanted a holy angel, well, I have those. They don't have those tendencies. The reason I gave you the commandment to be holy is because you have the other tendencies, and you, I expect, to overcome them and be holy. Well, sometimes a person errs. Even the greatest judges will sometimes err. The Gemara brings us stories of judges that erred. So that's why we have the tractate of Horiot to conclude, to tell us what happens when the judges err. So let's just recap. The Rambam taught us that Sedon Nezikin begins with the 3 sections of Masechet Nezikin, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Batra. And they discuss the monetary laws of one's responsibilities to watch over one's items, one's responsibilities when he's a borrower, when he rents, when he lends. And then we have the laws of dividing land, the laws of sales. That's Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra, which are really 3 sections of a larger Masechet Nezikin. And after we've learned the laws of Baba Basra, once we conclude the monetary laws, so we go on to Sanhedrin, which gives us the laws of the judges, and then we go on to Makos, which is its own tractate, Akos discusses how the courts can administer lashes. Then we go to the tractate of Shavuos, because Shavuos is similar to Makos. After Shavuos, the beginning of Shavuos is similar to Makos, and it's also relevant to justice, to the taking of vows. Then we go on to Eduyot, because Eduyot discusses trustworthy testimony that we accept in Halacha, and that's one of the things that judges need, trustworthy testimony. And after that, we go on to Avodah Zarah, because every judge needs to know the laws of Avodah Zarah. And after Avodah Zarah, we go on to Pirkei Avot, which tells us two things: the tradition that each judge received from his predecessor, and that gives us perspective how to view the judges, and also teaches us the good traits which the judge needs to know more than anyone else, because if he errs in behavior, it is much worse than if a simpleton errs in behavior. We conclude with Holiyot, which discusses what happens when the courts make a mistake, and that is fitting to conclude the tractate of Nezikin.